What a blessing that was. I love when we see the young people getting involved and the young folks that are proud to stand up here and declare the name of the Lord and give praise to their Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. And as we watch these young people grow up, I remember when this one right here, our wonderful drummer, was one of those kids. I was one of the deacons, and I would go chase him out of the bathroom during service. I told him, get back in the sanctuary. Well, look at him these days, huh? Yeah, he knows. He knows. Amen. If you have the Word of God with you, whether in digital or printed format, please raise it all over the sanctuary. God bless you so much. So good to be here today for this happy Father's Day. And as we gather here today for Father's Day, we have a special message from Psalm 128. Please turn in the Word of God to Psalm 128. We have a message today I hope will bless your hearts. This past week, right before we left to go out of town, I had the distinct honor and high privilege of being a part of the service for Marguerite Joseph's father, who had gone to be with the Lord. Father-in-law, that's correct. Father-in-law, Pastor Joseph, and to see all of the pastors and preachers and deacons of their past show up, and the grandchildren, and just the honor that was given to him. And we look at some of the men in the lives of Living Hope Baptist Church that have gone to be with the Lord recently. Brother Francis and Pastor Johnson, Pastor, pardon me, Joseph. Miss Ruth Ann, just keep me straight. We just know what an honor it is. Amen? So today's special message is all about leading by example. And so, fathers, as we come here today for this special Father's Day message, I want you to know that as we come here today, we are going to be looking at the biblical standard or example of being a godly father. And bear in mind that this is a standard. I'm going to tell you going into today's message not to get down about what the standard is. None of us are going to meet that standard because the standard is our Heavenly Father. Amen? And so as we go into this, we what a great time of worship we had this morning. Amen? You know, hallelujah. You know, it's easy sometimes in churches to let self-pride take over and to be too dignified for true worship. Well, we don't want you to go home dignified, friends. Our one goal is that you go home justified in the Lord and that you have come to Living Hope Baptist Church and met with your Heavenly Father. That is our goal. Why? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. And listen to me, because of the cross, God has lifted His Son up. Our one overriding concern today, we don't want to fool anyone that's here. Today is Father's Day and it's a special day. But we have one mission, we have one job, and that's declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because He died on the cross for our sins. And because He died on the cross for our sins, the Father has lifted Him up. Philippians chapter 2 verses 9 through 11 read this. Therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a blessing that passage is as we come here today. Excuse me. So let me unpack that for you quickly before we get into our passage today. What is it that Jesus Christ did? Why do we make this the central focus of all that we do at Living Hope Baptist Church? Why was that the focus of what we just did at the pastor's conference? I want you to know that as we went there and we had worship service before each and every message that we listened to. So every hour we had worship service, a sermon, and a time of dedication and commitment. And as we went there, the overwhelming focus was worship of King Jesus. Worship of King Jesus. And early on in the services, we noticed that some of the pastors were a little subdued as they come there. Some of these guys have been beaten up by their congregations. I want you to know that hasn't happened here. Living Hope Church, you are a loving, caring, wonderful church. I'm honored to pastor here. Pastor Carol is honored. We can't wait to tell folks all about you guys. And we just brag on you. They can't get us to shut up. And this year at the Southern Baptist Convention, for the first time ever, it wasn't the big church preachers that were preaching. It was all average-sized to slightly small churches, pastors that were preaching there. 12 wonderful sermons by 12 wonderful men of God. So let me unpack why the focus is on Jesus Christ. When Jesus came from heaven to earth to die on the cross for our sins, He took on all of God's wrath against sin. Amen? In other words, all of the wrath that God has against the sinner in this world, Christ took that upon Himself. And He substituted Himself in our place to die for our sins on the cross. Therefore, when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord, don't miss this. When we receive Jesus Christ as Lord, all of the blessings from our Heavenly Father that are rightfully due to Jesus Christ, King Jesus, for that sacrifice, are accounted to us. All of the blessings of the Father for the sacrifice of the Son on the cross are substituted and given to us. Amen. Hallelujah. The modern world would have you believe that Jesus was just a man or He was just a prophet. But He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Let's give Him some praise in the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So what other lies are attempted upon man by the world? Well, I'm going to focus on one today. One of the greatest lies of the modern age is about the father's role in the family. The role of the father. If you just sit and watch some of the sitcoms and things these days, the father appears as a dunderhead. Granted, we have those moments. Granted, we do those things sometimes, but it's part of the things that are very endearing about us. My wife has more of those moments with her husband than the average wife would have. But it's one of the endearing qualities about me is that I can mess up and then apologize to my wife. And as soon as I apologize, as far as I'm concerned, I'm forgiven. It doesn't always work out that way, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm forgiven. I've just seen if you guys were paying attention there. You know, most Christians stay quiet about this get along with it society that we have nowadays. But just listen to me, dads. Just listen to me, Christians here in the sanctuary and watching on the internet. We are Christians. That means Christ lives in us. We are not here to make peace with the world. No, my friends in Jesus Christ, God has saved us to be overcomers of the world. We are to let our light shine. We are not to be shy about our faith. We are not to be shy about where we sit and where we stand. We had an incident while we were out of town, and Pastor Carol's bank card was locked up. And so him and I had to go to the bank, Bank of America. And as we're sitting there, as we walked outside for about 3 blocks in Phoenix, and I just want to let you know, you think it's hot here. Over there, it's hot. You go from air conditioner to air conditioner to air conditioner. They were on a cool spell while we were there. It was 100 degrees. Today, it's 108. It's 114 today. Yesterday, it was 108. On Tuesday, it's supposed to be 120 degrees there. You couldn't chase me out of an air-conditioned house over there. But anyway, as we went into that Bank of America, we sat there with this really charming young business lady. And of course, she asked, what are you guys in town for? And so we shared all about it. She goes, yeah, I've seen like a bunch of you guys in here today. And I hear the same thing. Well, that's a good thing that they hear the same thing from us. Amen? That Jesus Christ is King. We have overcome the world. Listen, guys. Listen, fathers, I want you to know that biblically speaking, you are highly exalted as the heads of your family. You are highly regarded by God the Father. You are given great responsibility in God's kingdom plan. The Bible places a premium on fatherhood. There is to be harmony and praise of God and laughter and worship in our homes. Your family should not get praise and worship and highly speaking of God the Father and the Word of God when they get here in church on Sunday morning. They should see that in your life throughout the week. But this Father's Day, I want to make something perfectly clear. So dads, you are the one that's to be the spiritual leader in your house. You are the spiritual leader in your house according to the Word of God, not your wife. That is your role. So, where do I get all that from? I'm so glad you asked. If you have your Bibles open to Psalm 128, please say, Amen. And I want to just tell you as we go in, you'll see that this psalm is directed at fathers, even though it starts off with blessed is everyone, that one that it's talking about is the father in the house. So let's see what the Lord says about that. Reading from the Word of God, Psalm 128, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord blesses you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Let the teacher speak your words and your words alone in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, as we look at this psalm written from the Father's perspective, the very first word that we see here is what? Blessed. Now, I want you to understand that that word in the original language, in the original Hebrew, is the plural version of that word. In other words, it actually starts off like this. Blessed is the one. And it's the masculine form of the verb one, of the word one, which means blessed is the man. It reminds me of Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. That's right, friends, there is a Psalm chapter 1, in case you've never been there. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the unrighteous. Blessed is the man. In other words, when it says blessed, it is a double joy for us what is following. In other words, all the words of the rest of this song, of the Psalms, the rest of these words, this is a psalm of ascents, that means that the rest of this is a double blessing in the man, in the father, in the husband's life. I have 5 points today. We'll move quickly through them. Our first point today is the biblical example is the character that he lives. The biblical example of the godly man, the godly father, the godly husband is the example that he lives. Look again at verse 1, if you would please, if you dare say amen. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. So look exactly at what is written there. When we read God's Word, we are to look at what's there. Look at exactly what is written. What is it that makes us doubly happy? What is it that gives us the double blessing from God? First, you are blessed if you fear the Lord. Second, you are blessed if you walk with Him. Walk with the Lord. In Genesis, it says that Enoch walked with the Lord, and then the Lord caught him up to be with him in heaven. Enoch, a man that never died. You see, the standard for the biblical father to be doubly blessed, to be doubly blessed, is that he is first to fear the Lord. Now listen closely, don't get this all wrong, because some people do. Fearing the Lord does not mean that we are to live in dread of the Lord. We're not to be frightened of our God. The fear of the Lord means, listen, let me tell you guys something. God is big, and He can be scary. Amen? Amen? When you think of the power that is required to create the cosmos, and He said that the scripture, the psalmist says that He did it with the fingers of His hands, like finger painting. There's a reason to fear the Lord. There's a reason to fear the Lord Jesus Christ, to be aware of the incredible power that they have. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says that by Him, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through Him and of Him are all things held together. So moms, dads, any children in here today, That means that it's the Lord Jesus Christ that holds us together. The molecules in your body, the atoms of the universe are held together by His will. And all He would have to do is just say, I don't need that no more. It is an amazing thing how powerful God is. But we are not to be in dread of Him. You see, the fear of the Lord is a pure fear. It's a clean fear. The fear of the Lord is simply the manner of us living with love on our knees. Being aware of who our Heavenly Father is. Praising His name. Lifting Him up. Exalting Him to our friends and our families. Because the man who loves the God the deepest is also the man that fears the Lord the most. I'm going to say that one more time. I thought I'd get a testimony. Good thing I brought my own. It says the man who loves God the deepest is also the man that fears God the most. And he shows it by the way that he lives. Amen. Dads, the Bible clearly teaches that fathers must fear the Lord and walk in integrity. What does it mean to be a man of integrity? What did Job's wife say to him when he had been struck down? She says, you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Now let's not get all over Mrs. Job. She had lost everything as well. She was going through a tough moment. But listen to me. Fathers, I want you to understand something. You have integrity. You already have it. But what kind of integrity is it? Because listen to me, guys. A man that has godly integrity, if you have godly integrity, nothing else matters. Amen? Amen. And if you do not have godly integrity, nothing else matters. Be a man of godly integrity. Because our integrity is what our children will remember. It's what our families remember of us. So I ask today, what do you want your children to remember about you? You know, as I prepared for this message, I've done a lot of things in my life. Sports and skydiving and all kinds of stuff in the military and all kinds of things in writing of software and things, apps and stuff like that. But as I prepared for this message, I tried to remember my sports awards. Then I tried remembering all my Army awards and medals and citations. Then I tried remembering the awards for the software I designed and other accomplishments and awards that I've received. I even tried remembering some of the sermons and classes that I've taught. And you know what? I couldn't remember hardly any of it. Now, if I can't remember those earthly things, can my children? No. But they will remember the type of dad I was. They will remember my integrity. They will remember my character. So blessed is every man who fears the Lord, who walks in His way. And all God's people said. Amen. Now, the second point we have today is the contentment he learns. The contentment he learns. Look at verse 2, if you would, please. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. This doesn't say what kind of job this man has. All right. We don't know what kind of work the guy does. We don't know whether he makes his living from the neck up or from the neck down. But you know what? It doesn't matter, friends. Why? Because it is well. When he lives in fear of the Lord, when he walks as a man of character and walks with the Lord, he is well in what he's doing for a living. When the Bible says it is well, it means he's content. You know, there's something wonderful, guys, about good, decent, honest, hard work. There really is. And now listen to me, dads. You may be in a spot where you're working in a place where there are no godly people there. You're working in a place where nobody cares how great of a job you do or how great of a dad you are or any of that. But get you to understand this. Your contentment is not in whatever praise they give. Your contentment should be in the praise that your Heavenly Father gives you. You see, if you do your job in order to please God, you will be content. And what the world thinks of you will not matter. How is it that preachers can come up week after week after week and preach all of the parts of the Bible and still be content without being mean, nasty, and rude to everybody? Because let's just say an amen on this. There's some tough stuff in the Bible, amen? Amen? And so how is it the preacher can get up here and preach these things and be content in the job he's doing it? Why? Because while I am here to edify the church, to lift you guys up and give you the things you need for the work of the ministry, my job is to please the Lord. My job is to get out here so it says, thus saith the Lord. That's where my contentment is to be at all times. Amen? So listen, guys, just providing for your family and coming home and enjoying what God has given you and blessed you with should be contentment. You should be content in that. You see, the God has a way of providing the man of integrity, the man of faith, with what he needs for his family. Not what you want, but what you need for your family. Do you know what the problem is with a lot of dads? And when I'm pointing, you notice there's three fingers pointing right back here. They're simply not joyful. They're not content. Enough is never quite enough for them. If the father is making $50,000 a year, then he wants $75,000 a year. How come I don't have that? I work hard. They are never satisfied just to work hard for the Lord. Be content that you're satisfying the Lord. Let Him take care of whatever advancement that there is. And then come home and be happy and content with their families. That is where we should live. Why? Because they're always working and busy earning a living, trying to enjoy life somewhere down the road. Listen to me. I have learned to enjoy life right where I am. My wife can tell you, I am Mr. Rose-colored glasses. I see the good in everything. And I hope and I pray that I can be that way the rest of my life. I hope as God grows this church and things go along and things happen, and you know, people are going to disappoint you, amen? But you know what? If you're doing things for the Lord, it doesn't matter. And I hope I never stop being surprised that someone has let me down. I hope it never changes my character. I hope I can be content in what I'm doing. You see, because as a man of God, as a man of integrity, if you serve the Lord, then if someone hurts your feelings or attempts to, they won't be hurt. Why? Because your joy is in the Lord. Amen. That's where your joy is. Amen? All right, that's good stuff. I went right off my notes there, folks. But listen, my wife and I have had some absolute miracles in how God has provided for us. I could sit with you and tell you so many stories. But we've had some absolute heartaches as well. Everybody goes through that in their life. But there finally came a day where we sat down and we prayed and we simply came to a decision as a husband and a wife. And I became the actual spiritual head of our family. And that decision was this. We were going to put God first in everything. Everything. My wife knows that in my life she is first after the Lord. And I know that in her life, I am first after the Lord. Now that's a pretty good place to be, guys. Amen? Amen. You know, I mean, I'm right after the Lord. Man, I am like right up here. You know, matter of fact, sometimes I tell my wife, I said, you know, I'm right up there, you know, right after the Lord. I said, and if you have me, this is your life. Without me, with me, without me, with me. And all God's men said, amen. There we go, guys. So, absolutely, we put God first in everything. We put God first in our time. We put God first in our treasure. In other words, everything that we have, we decided belongs to the Lord. And listen to me, we're thankful for Him God allows us to be stewards of the treasure that He's allowed us to have. But listen to it, we are at the point in our life, He gave it to us. If He wants to take it back, it's His. It belongs to the Lord. And our joy is not wrapped up in our stuff. Our joy is wrapped up in the Lord. Amen? Amen. With me? Without me? That was a good one. There'll be some kind of payback for that somewhere along the line, I'm certain. Listen, when we look around our house, when we look around our home and our yard, None of that belongs to us. We can point to say, look at what the Lord has done. Look at what the Lord has done. We will rejoice and be glad in Him because this is the day that the Lord has made. So, point number three. Oh, this is going to be the good part right here. The companion He loves. Look at verse 3, if you would please. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Why is the faithful wife compared to a vine? You ever see vines, how they crawl up the walls and just kind of cling to those walls? You see, the wife is compared to that because if you have a godly husband and a godly wife, the wife will cling to her husband like the vine clings to the wall. Now, I'm not talking about those times when the air conditioner goes out, like happened with me and Miss Ruth Ann a couple of years ago, and we had one fan in the house. Half of our electricity went out. Can you believe that? You know, we had the lights, but no AC. I would have settled for the other way. But anyway, so we had some electricity in the house, and we had a fan on, and we had it blowing right on us, and so it was hot, it was August, and we were trying to sleep, and so we would try to both get as close to where the fan was blowing until we touched each other. And then we pull back apart. Now, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the wife clings to her husband like a vine clings to her wall if her husband fears the Lord and walks with Him. Amen? The metaphor that we see here, the vine clinging to the wall, I know that is not politically correct these days. Too bad. That's what God has said. The husband is to be that wall for his wife. The wife should know that her husband has her back every time. That he supports her in everything. That there is no chance ever that he is not for her. Now listen, fathers, you are to be her support and her absolute ironclad strength after the Lord. After the Lord. And if God provides children, they are to be considered as fruit from her vine. Are you getting the imagery? Amen. You see, Psalm 127 verse 3 that I just read, it works with Psalm 127 verse 3. Look at the previous Psalm, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Isn't that good? You see, I'm so impressed by what God has put here. That children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a blessing. They are fruit of the womb. You know, I'm so impressed, and I have always been impressed, by Miss Ruth Ann's parents, Miss Tony and Melda Menard. Man, what a job they did with their children. They've both gone to be with the Lord now. And looking back, I realized that if you looked around their house, you know, when I first went to visit Miss Ruth Ann at her home, we met on a blind date, as a matter of fact. Many of you have heard that story. A lot of people say she must have been blind. But eventually I managed to get invited. And when we went on our first date, blind date, we went to this place. It's a place like, it was out by the Pontchartrain Beach. And it had like carnival rides and stuff. So as I'm walking next to her, if you were to look behind us, it was just like that scene from The Godfather. You know, where the whole family's following along behind. And so we were walking along. And if I would like try to reach over to take her hand, I would hear like everybody in the back going, But eventually I was invited to her home. And when we got to her home, I thought they were rich. It just turned out her mother was an extraordinarily good housekeeper. That house sparkled. She was a stay-at-home mom, and I'm looking around their house. I realized as I look back, and I was thinking about it this week, they didn't have any trophies or awards or anything like that on their walls. Why? Because their children were their trophies. Their children were their prized possessions, valued to be nurtured in the Lord. It's no accident that First Lady turned out like she did. Amen? And that's right. I'm going to go ahead and embarrass you, honey. I know I'll hear about that later. Listen, guys, men, dads, fear the Lord. What is it that you value? Look around your life. What is it that you value? I'm going to say that one more time so I've got everybody's attention. What is it that you value? You can't take your nice car to heaven. You can't take your nice house to heaven. You can't take your gold or your silver to heaven. But be a man of God. Fear the Lord. Walk in integrity. Walk in His ways. And share the gospel of Jesus Christ with your family. And someday, you can take your wife. You can take your children to heaven with you. Amen. Be a man of integrity. And all of God's children said,
amen.
Two more points and we're done. Now we see the children that He leads. Second half of verse 3. Your children are like olive plants all around your table. You see, biblically speaking, the olive is a symbol of fruitfulness. It's a symbol also of righteousness, believe it or not. And what you want for your children is for them to live in godly fruitfulness and righteousness. Now, all you fathers, listen to me. This passage says that your wife is like a vine and your children are like olive plants. Why? Because both must be cultivated. Both must be cared for. The offspring, the fruit of how well them plants do, are a direct reflection of your cultivation. How do you care for that vine? How do you care for those olive plants? Dads, that is your job. That is the father's job. The problems of our time is not juvenile delinquency. It's not a generation gap. It's not the feminist movement. By the way, Jesus Christ was the most radical feminist that ever lived. Jesus Christ had a bunch of ladies that followed Him around and took care of the disciples. Those guys who were always sleeping in chapel, apparently. Who was it that stayed at the cross, at the crucifixion, but the women? Christ was a radical feminist. No, guys, that's not the problem. Those aren't the problems in America. The problems in America are drop-out dads. Dads that just check out. Listen, because the dad is absent physically or emotionally. See, the things happen, we understand, but you can be emotionally attached and close to your children. Those things are going to adversely affect your children and their lives. Children need to be told that you love them. Sons need to be told that you're proud of them. Daughters need to be told what a treasure they are, how beautiful, how smart they are. Listen to me, sons that have no self-worth, sons that are beaten down by their fathers have a very good chance of growing up as worthless, macho men, deadbeat, dead dropouts. That's right, you heard that right from the pulpit. Daughters that have no sense of self-worth have a very good chance of looking for worth and companionship somewhere they should never go instead of embracing the Lord as they've been raised up. Listen, guys. Listen, dads. You have an opportunity with your daughters and with your sons. Let's say you have a daughter. Be careful about looking directly into your daughter's eyes. She will steal your heart. I know. You will be your daughter's first love. You will be the first example of what a man is to be for your daughter. What she sees in men the rest of the life, what she expects from men the rest of her life, will reflect what she saw in you. You'll also be your son's hero. He will model what he sees in you. Be a man of integrity. Be a man that fears the Lord. It is so important that you spend time cultivating those olive plants. Spend time talking with them, reading the Word of God with them, being an encouragement to them. May I ask you this? When was the last time you prayed with your son? When was the last time you prayed or read the Word of God with your daughter? Have they heard you thank God specifically for them in your prayers? Dads, there's only one way to say this, though. The Lord has said, this is your job. That is your job. It's not the job of some sports coach. It's not the job of some other type of professional. And it's not the pastor's job either. It is your God-given honor It is your God-given duty to take this amazing gift that is your child and your children, this blessing that is them, and train them up in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Grab onto that. Hold onto that to your heart. God has given you an enormous responsibility. Don't you want for your daughter to go into the world reflecting and being a godly woman? Why? Because she knows what to expect and what the standard is for men out there. Why? Because she found it in you. You have to do that, guys. One last thing I want us to look at today. We now look at the contribution that the man of God leaves. Looking at the last four verses. Back to Psalm 128. If you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Look at the progression in the Word of God. If we live in the fear of the Lord, if we honor the Lord, if we protect and honor our wives, if we raise our children up as an offering to the Lord for His glory and with great thankfulness to the Lord, then our contribution, if we do those things, our blessing is this, that our children and our children's children will live a life of service to the Lord. I don't know about you, but that young man standing up here this morning singing, bless my heart.
Amen.
We need more young people like that.
Amen.
We need more young people that say, I don't know how good I am, but I'd like to have a chance. You see, at Living Hope Church, we're going to give those young people chances, guys.
Yes.
We're going to give them chances. Amen. Hallelujah. Absolutely hallelujah. Now, before you start feeling dads all inadequate, before you start saying, I can't do this, I can't fulfill all of that all the time, I want you to remind you of something, because I need to share this with our dads. Here's a newsflash, you are inadequate. You are. Because you can't do it. But you can do it in the Lord. You can call upon His strength. Look at the previous Psalm, Psalm 127. Look at the very first half of the first verse. You see, what does it say? Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. What does that mean? Well, if you live, Psalm 128 verse 1, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in their ways, then it is the Lord that will do the work. Honor the Lord, fear the Lord, walk in His ways, then the Lord will build the house. It's the same way with churches. Fear the Lord, walk in His ways, and the Lord will build the house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now listen to me. I just want to share some things here with you. I don't know what kind of family you may have come from, dads. I don't know. I don't know what your background is. There are many sitting here today. There are many sitting out there watching on the internet. You were raised in a home where there was child abuse. There was drunkenness. You were raised in a home full of greed and selfishness with no encouragement at all. Maybe you lived in a home with all of that. Maybe you had a father who just wasn't there. Are you ready? Listen to me, young and old alike. It doesn't mean you have to be like that. It does not mean you have to be like that. Dads, it doesn't mean you have to pass on to your children what was passed on to you. There isn't a thing. This is, God's word is so good. God's blessings are so incredible. Listen to me. There is nothing that you can do about your ancestors. But you can do something. You can make a difference with your descendants. See, you can't do anything about your ancestors. You can't do anything about who your family members are. Amen. Yeah, I know. Everybody just perked up on that one. Yeah, that's my people over there. You can't do anything about it, but you can change your descendants. Here's what I know about my own life, if I can just share for just a second. I know, I absolutely know, that I embarrassed my wife I embarrass my family with my outward public displays of affection. Tough, I don't care. If you think it's going to end, you're sadly mistaken. I absolutely adore my wife. My wife has gotten up and done the right thing every day of our marriage. I'm so grateful for that. I would love... Listen, if I could do my whole life over again, if I could do this whole thing called marriage over again and fatherhood, I would love and encourage and exalt my wife higher and higher in front of my children in the world. I would do it higher and higher. I'd hug her more publicly, which is a good thing. I would laugh more with my children at their mistakes and their mess ups. I would just sit with my children and listen to their fears and their joys. I would let them tell me about their day instead of railing on about whatever happened with me that day. I would pray for more for and with my children, but I would pray so much differently with them. You see, because instead of focusing on them in the prayer, I'd focus more on me and ask for God's guidance in leading those children. To take me out of it and to put God into it. I'd be more honest about my weaknesses and stop pretending or never even go there with the super dad perfection that some of us think we have to live. I would be far more encouraging to my wife and my children. I've never regretted one time lifting my children up and encouraging them. I've never regretted one time lifting my wife up and honoring her. But more than anything else, I would use every single ordinary day that happened and every single ordinary thing that happened then as well. I would use all of life circumstances to point my wife and my children to God. To point them to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me, dads. Why don't you start right here, right now, today. Rededicate your hearts to Christ. If you've never received Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, there's no time like today. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And we're going to ask for you to come, if you've received Christ for the first time today as the Lord of your life, come up and I'd love to pray with you. If you just want to come up and have me pray for you as a dad, as a father, please do so. Come forward. If there's a bunch of you, that's quite all right as well. Come forward. I'll ask Pastor Devine to come up if he sees us getting overwhelmed up here. But listen to me. Receiving Jesus Christ as the Lord will make you the best dad that you could ever possibly be. Doing that and by living by the words that we read here today, blessed is the man that fears the Lord and who walks in His way. Why? Why Jesus? Because God said so. God said in the New Testament, "Behold, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Do what He says." And what did Jesus Christ say? When He was asked, "How do I get to heaven?" Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." And all of God's children said, "Amen." Amen. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, with every head bowed and every eye closed around this sanctuary.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon. You are God. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy.